We encounter Jacob here in this story amidst a kind of leave-taking. It had already been a restless night, anticipatory. He had heard news that Esau, his older brother, was advancing with 400 men to meet him and to likely extract vengeance upon Jacob, gathering his goats and his herds of heifers as a gift, as a bribe. Jacob sent him before him across the river to soften his brother's honest, anticipated blows. But what if that self-interested peace offering was not enough to appease Esau for the blessing that Jacob had stole? What then? Is that why Jacob anxiously arose in the darkness to make that dangerous crossing with his household under cover of night? And why would Jacob stay alone on the far side of the river after having done so? Perhaps in doubt, unable to face what lay ahead of him, unable to face himself even, perhaps he had lost heart. And all of this was happening before the man, the angel, appeared and wrestled Jacob until daybreak. What a long night! After those long hours, now turned aching, and at the point of breaking apart, even tender, "What is your name?" the angel must have faintly grasped. In the ambiguity of that face, Jacob, the face into which you were fearfully sweating, drops falling in those last moments of your body's longing to hold on, what must you have been thinking? Did you hear an echo of your dying father's voice asking for your name? The 20 years after that night of your fateful lie, when you had pretended you were someone else, you filled those years with further cunning and prodigal accumulation. How afraid you must have been. Even after God's promise to accompany you, to face Esau and grapple with the truth from which you were so long running, it was a neglect, I think. A neglect of some deep part of yourself. In the hour of your re-entry to your homeland into Canaan, your reintegration, the angel appeared. Exhausted, you replied to the angel's questioning gasp honestly, finally naked, just Jacob, without the hairy goatskins to disguise you, only the smoothness of your own body's wit. Were you wise? Before this wrestling ambiguity, whose name you did not obtain, but honored as the face of God, you put up no facade, no pretense, and in making yourself known, you received a blessing all your own. God touched you, and you limped away, one more river to cross. Have you ever run from yourself? Or from those you loved, perhaps from God, losing yourself in the tasks of living in this world, denying some real grappling you've yet to face, thinking you were building a life, building yourself up, only to find some lingering incompleteness. The truth, somehow hidden, still before you, yet to be held or tasted? Have you ever simply been afraid to face a change? To move to a new place in life? I cannot hear this story of Jacob's wrestling, so often depicted in art and poetry, without thinking of my own prolonged coming out, which was quite fearful and marked by much impassioned screaming, crying, singing, asking for God's blessing, my night walking of various sanctuaries, pacing up and down the center aisle, was filled with such prayer. Well, I walked my own way back to Canaan, trying to speak the truth when I was asked for my name. These moments of resisting change are often accompanied by feeling a profound absence or distance from God. I know I often felt myself alone, but I am not alone. And Jacob, he was not alone. God had promised to accompany him on this journey, having parted with all he possessed. All that he knew, Jacob should not have been surprised at the sudden appearance of the wrestler, for maybe it was only then, when all the stuff of his life had fallen away and he was in crisis, in change, leave-taking, where he was finally able to experience God's presence. Perhaps in his fear and trembling concerning facing Esau, he was distracted as one long last prayer overtook him. Perhaps the whole point of spiritual practice is to prepare us for those moments of leave-taking. Perhaps prayer is to prepare us for the transitions that life invariably brings us. Life change, life crisis, of course, won't automatically lead to breakthroughs, spiritual, material, relational, like the one we see in this text. But our patient, perhaps sometimes even forceful prayers, God, deliver me! God! Vengeance against my enemies! God, please, just a little bit of support here. Perhaps those prayers prepare us and assist us in the constructive, reflective use of those times when we simply must let go. My time with you over the past year and a half has been just such a time, a period of leave-taking. Just as I once struggled with sexuality and faith, I have wrestled, and often as you have watched me during my sermons and prayers, with a new emerging identity. I've had to begin to come out as a pastor. And I still can't speak that word very comfortably. Can I let go into this new vocation? I'm not sure, even now. How will the world receive me? Will it beat me up and strike me after my having run away from it for so long? Or will holding to whatever shreds of belief I still maintain mean that I'm seen or see myself occasionally as daft, as a buffoon, willing to believe in the proverbial one God too many? Or contrarily, perhaps I will simply not have faith enough to serve a people brave enough to call me. Our tenacity in facing those things from which we could well flee is our religious task. And a relentless widow's prayer, a spiritual practice, will assist us in crossing all of life's rivers of change. What's more, grappling with our whole selves in whatever life brings also puts us, like Jacob, in position to reconcile with actual people. Not just the projections we put upon them or the worries that we falsely anticipate. God's face was seen also in the face of Esau, who would later meet Jacob with open, accepting arms, not with vengeance. During my time with you, I have seen God's face with regularity amongst the members of this congregation, in conversation and mutual support. It has been my privilege to walk alongside you this year and to have you accompany me, especially to know that when my own prayers were weak, that you were praying with and for me. This is one thing that religious community can do. The spiritual practice of prayer is not only a solitary art. That which has been long hidden inside us contains the blessing of our full being, full selfhood before God. Its emergence gives us our names, speaking his name to God, finally admitting his full identity. Jacob gives up all that he has been and held onto. He gives up his fears. Once they fall away, all he has left to say is, "I am Jacob." Having spoken this name, he's no longer a deceptive supplanter pretending to be someone he's not. And God replies and names him Israel. God says to each of us, even now, you have wrestled and you have prevailed. I am with you. How ecstatic this wounding, this limping leave-taking from all that we know, each and every day, crossing the rivers that we come to, praying our way through the world.